Joe Julia Rhea is going to join us at 11. We'll see her take on Jalen Hurts. Coming up at 1, the first Hughes crew of the year, Jamal Anderson, Dirty Bird.
The original Dirty
Bird.
The
original. He's going to join us. And excited to get his take on Saquon and just how much of a workhorse he could be this year. Because we were looking at some of those numbers this morning for Jamal Anderson back in 98 when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl.
That was the year we played the Falcons that year. They went to the Super Bowl. And it was a tight game. And I remember when they started handing him the rock, oh, man, he was a load.
He had like 425 touches here that year. Wild, wild stuff. He'll join us coming up at 11. Nice win for the Phillies last night. And we discussed Jalen Hurts to start off our show today. We're going to let you hear some of the back and forth in a few minutes between Ike and Baldy yesterday afternoon show discussing Hurts and really the chances he's taken, whether they're good chances, not good chances. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for way less risk-taker Jalen and way more game manager Jalen. I need less Josh Allen. I need more Brock Purdy on Monday night against the Atlanta Falcons. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Lamar is in Philly talking to Jalen. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, how you guys doing? What's up, Joe? What's up, you?
Hey, Lamar. What's up?
All right, a few things, Joe. You've been rough on my guy lately, but I don't need Jalen to be a game manager. When you get this guy $260 million, you don't pay him to be a game manager. If that was the case, Purdy will be paid already.
Guess what? Let me stop you real quick, Lamar. Brock Purdy going to get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just.
I know you.
He's going to get paid.
That.
Yeah.
You understand that. And he will get his money. I'm not sure if he'll get Dak money, but he'll get
you almost
money.
Made me curse. Shoot. Please. He's going to get paid, dog. He's going to get, like, don't. Trust me on this, Lamar. He's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid, Hugh. But, I mean, next time you come to Chesapeake Inn, if they give him $60 million, lunch is on me.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna wait on that one because guess what?
What are you gonna get?
He gonna get that.
No. What are you gonna get? The best.
I'm gonna get the what they call the crab soup.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah.
Get the most expensive thing.
Right up, you.
No, I know you will, brother. You sound like you will.
My thing is this: Hurts is the difference to me between a game manager and between a hero ball. Now, I don't want him playing hero ball. I think on those two plays, most quarterbacks, most Sundays, will want a few balls back. They were both third and longs, and he just did too much. But to me, the way I view Jalen is, for one, he's mentally strong enough to handle Philly, because if not, the minute they start telling you to be a game manager and all this other weird stuff, you end up basically checking out mentally. To me, he's more of the guy that's on the last drive, giving you a 7-minute drive, doing whatever he got to do to get you down and run the clock out, and more of that guy that you've seen in the Super Bowl that gave the Eagles, I mean, that was the best performance and a losing effort I've ever seen. So to me, I want the guy to just be him, be a little bit more cautious with the ball, and I think he'll do that.
Well, if he's more cautious, then we're all going to be happy. And Lamar, good phone call. How about that? You got yourself maybe his free lunch there, you.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy gets 60.
You got a free Lamar, lunch, let's be honest.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Brock Purdy, whether or not you think that he's on par with Jalen's skill set, the bottom line is this: in the NFL, quarterbacks, if you have success, you get paid for your potential. And a perfect example of that, like I told the story, when I got my contract here with the Philadelphia Eagles, Willie McGinnis had just come off his, I think it was his first Pro Bowl, and he was the highest paid defensive end in the league at that time. I was in my third season, going into my third season. I didn't do as much as Willie did in the league. But I remember my agent asking me, what did I want? And I said I wanted Willie McGinnis money. So the bottom line is this: you get paid for the potential that you have. And right now, Brock Purdy's potential is through the roof. If Brock Purdy right now went to his agent and said, you know what, I need a new deal, and forced the 49ers to work a deal out for him, probably going to get that done.
So I think by rule, they can't pay him until after his third season. That's really the reason he hasn't been paid yet. Now, so after this year,
he's about to get paid.
He'll get paid. But so Lamar brought up something: you don't pay Jalen Hurts and then have him do that. Why? I mean, like, the objective is to win the game. I mean, we don't just do things based on how much money you get paid. If that was the case, Devin White plays on Friday night, and N'Kobe Dean does not.
See, and I think here's the thing. I think that when people hear game manager, that automatically gives them a negative connotation. Now, when I think of game manager, I think of somebody that's going to put the ball in the hand of the playmakers. Now, when it's time, when the rubber meets the road, and it's time to make a play, I expect Jalen to make that play to the point that Lamar pointed out, because he does make $250 million. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. Put it in this perspective. I know Jalen, before you go there, everybody, I know Jalen is not Patrick Mahomes. But when I think back to that Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes stayed in the pocket, and he delivered the football to his playmakers until he had to make a play. And the thing that always jumps out to me, and I always point to this, Joe, when we talk about him and the last two Super Bowls that he played, and the one against us and the one against the 49ers, he had back-breaking runs in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
But if you talk about that game and the plays that he was making, he put the ball in the hands of the playmakers and let them do their thing. Now, he extended plays by his movement and certain things that he did, but at the end of the day, he put the ball in the hands of the playmakers. But when it was time to make a play, he was the guy that stepped up.
Yeah, and the other day we were discussing, you know, when Jalen's decision-making changed, right? You look at his career the first couple of years, he didn't throw many interceptions. Now he started to throw a lot of interceptions. And we pointed out, you know, if you want to use a line of demarcation, it's when he got paid, right? Like So here's what I hope. I hope Jalen's not trying to justify his contract. Because you said it a few minutes ago here, winning will justify his contract. That's it. If the Eagles win a pair of Super Bowls with Jalen Hurts over the next handful of years, no one's going to look back one day and say, well, what were his numbers? No one will ever bring them up.
Mm-mm.
Does anyone know what Nick Foles' career numbers are in the city?
Mm-mm.
No one cares.
All they know is that he won a Super Bowl.
That's all that matters. No one cares.
And when you bring it up, they'll slap you across the lips and tell you ain't nobody trying to hear all that.
That's right.
I mean, that's just how it is.
Well, you know, you tried to bite the Nick Foles people.
I tried to explain it
Mm-mm.
in the best way that I possibly could.
And Lombardi!
I got so much heat.
MVP!
And I'm like, wait a minute. People, hear what I'm saying. Nobody's trying to hear that.
Winning
that's
is what
that's
it's
all
about.
That matters.
So for the Eagles, for the way they're set up this year with Saquon, with AJ, with Devontae, and with an offensive line that now with Becton playing well looks like it could be really good again, just be a game manager. All right, yesterday, we'll get back to all your calls, but yesterday, we want to play some of this for you because it was really great stuff. Yesterday, as he does every week, Brian Baldinger joined the afternoon show. And it was a little back and forth with Ike and Baldy on Jalen Hurts and really his play, the decision-making, the plays that went the wrong way Friday night. So we broke this up into a few parts. We'll play them in different parts here. Let's start off, Baldy, Ike, talking about Jalen, his performance Friday.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, Baldy. You know, I love your breakdowns, brother, because I know you know this game. I'm a little surprised that you wouldn't be a little discouraged at Jalen's decision to make those throws. I can understand, you know, making the
well,
read.
Why wouldn't you throw the ball to AJ? He's waving both hands at him.
Well,
because
he's rolling to his right and he's throwing the ball back across the middle of the field late.
All right. I mean, this is a different era now. Like, I mean, these guys got arms. They got cannons. Mahomes does it every single Sunday. You could say, don't make the throw. But, I mean, your star wide receivers is in the end zone waving both arms at you.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of hard to ignore him, to be honest with you.
But when your feet aren't planted to where you can make a good – hold on just for a second, because you brought up two great quarterbacks with great arms that I think they get away with that at times. Even Josh Allen has too much confidence in his arms at times and throws interceptions. If you know you don't have that cannon for an arm and you're in scoring position, you're going down to put this team away, you really made a decision that cost you and really kept Green Bay in the game. I can understand seeing AJ there, and I can understand it's tempting to make that throw, but if you're not on balance, you can't make that throw late across the middle of the field. And as a matter of fact, Jair Alexander is watching it the entire way. That's why he's able to peel off his guy and fall back on AJ. And Jalen can either run there or either throw the ball away, and no one would have said a thing. And the play to Devontae, you can't throw that ball over the middle of the field late like that. He was basically triple covered on that play. The safety's over the top, and the corner's coming the other way.
What do you make of that, Ike? I was compelled to listen to that yesterday. People have brought this up to us, Hugh, this week, that, hey, AJ was calling for the ball in the end zone, right? Mm-hmm. Lay off of Jalen. AJ's waving his arm. He's open. But I agree with the way Ike framed it. Jalen is running to his right, trying to throw back to his left. Like, sometimes you got to know your limitations.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, he can make that throw if he sets his feet, but if he's on the run, that ball's going to float, right? And then the defender's going to be able to get there. It's like, I see, just because AJ raises his hand doesn't mean you have to throw the ball.
But, you know, I think Donovan McNabb said it the best. You get caught in the moment, and you want to make a play. I'm not mad at Jalen for attempting to make that. And I guarantee you, once he saw it and he thought about it, I'm like, damn, you know, I thought I could. I wouldn't be surprised if he was in the meeting saying, man, I thought I could make that play. Now you know you can. So, you know, and that's one of those ones where when I talk about football and I talk about how coaches coach, that's one of the moments that I'm talking about. Was like, hey, you know, you play well, but hey, maybe we should think differently about this play. Maybe we should do things a little bit differently. And that's where Jalen has to grow as a quarterback. I think for the most part, you take out some of those plays, I think he played a pretty decent game for under the circumstances. I expect him to be better next week. That's why I'm not as bullish as some people are about some of the decisions that he made, because I honestly feel, Joe, and I've told you this many times in the meeting, I feel like the beginning of the game got away from him and they were pressed to just get back on track.
So let's hear more of those guys yesterday. Baldy and Ike on what he was talked about a lot this week, that first possession, right? Saquon goes backwards 5 yards. Jalen overthrows A.J. to the sideline on second down. So it's a 3rd and 15. And this is where it seemed like Jalen threw to triple coverage over the middle of the field. The first interception. Let's hear those guys talk about that.
It's Tampa 2 defense. It's a 3 deep. It's not triple coverage.
Well, I mean, the safety is over the top. Hold on.
The safeties are out to the numbers. Everybody makes that throw. Now, you can argue that the throw wasn't had enough air on it or deep enough. You can argue that, but you can't say he threw it in triple coverage. He didn't do that.
Well, I'm looking at the play, and there's 3 jerseys around him. It's the corner who picked it off.
At the end of the play, but the safeties at the very start are widening to the numbers.
My point is this, Baldy. There's 3 guys there. He throws it late.
They're not there. Xavier came. I mean, there's a reason why they paid him $50 million to come there. I mean, guy covers a lot of ground. Now,
yeah.
I think Devontae ran a lousy right route. Like, you can't get bodied out of that position. You got to go fight for the ball. Like, you're trusting a receiver to go get it. I mean, I don't know. Like, I would rather have my quarterback be more aggressive, especially one to A.J., to go put your foot right on their throat in that spot and end the game right there. I'd rather take that. And if A.J. doesn't slip in the end zone, you can't factor that in when you make that throw. But if he doesn't slip, it's not intercepted.
So
okay, well, listen, I respectfully disagree with you. And the thing, when you're coming off a season where you had a career high and you led the league.
You can't think about last year.
Baldy, let me finish. Let me finish. I'll let you talk, and now let me just explain where I'm coming from on the situation here. When you've had problems turning the ball over and you're in your first game, and a lot of this is decision-making, forcing plays, and you come out and do that, those to me are plays that a quarterback of Jalen's caliber and smarts as a quarterback have to know it's more dangerous and it's not worth it.
So there's 2 different things here, Hugh. So they started talking about the AJ pick, right? And they actually circled back around to the one in the end zone.
Yeah.
But the one that they were debating there was the first pick. That's the one you've been on since the beginning of the week, saying they got behind schedule, 3rd and 15. Here's where I'm going to bring up the game manager thing. It's the first quarter. It's the first drive. It's 3rd and 15. If you're slow to see it, and then by the time you wind
up, that's what it kind of looked like.
If by the time he wound up, McKinney's going to come flying over, right?
Yeah.
It's not. You don't have to take that chance. Like, a punt there is not going to kill you. The game just started a few minutes ago, right? Like that. If it wasn't for the defense holding their own and keeping the Packers at the end zone, they would have been in a big hole early because of just it's over the top.
Yeah, but I'll say this, and listening to those 2 guys go through, have that exchange. Good radio, by the way. But you're asking, I feel personally as a guy that played and has been in the heat of the moment situations, I feel like you're asking too much to be going through the process of thinking about all these different things in the heat. Now, let's take it from Jalen's perspective. First play of the game, you hand it off to the running back. He loses 5 yards.
Second play was an incompletion, AJ. So now it's 3rd and 15.
And they are, like, you're playing against a team that you've been talking about. Like, this is the beginning of the season. This is the one that you would like to get because you could probably see them in the playoffs. So you want to make a statement. Like, all of that's going on in your head, and you're behind the 8-ball. That ball came out late. And I remember saying that when I was watching, like, damn, why did you throw that? He's not thinking about last year. He's not thinking about the interceptions that he threw last year. He's thinking about trying to win this damn game or try to get footing in this game. Because at that point, you don't have any footing. Nobody goes out there and wants to throw the ball, except for Andy that 1 year when T.O. was here. But that's beside the point. Not too many coaches want to go out there and start the game with having your quarterback throwing the ball deep. If anything, you're going to throw it out to the flat, throw it to the tight end or somebody like that, or run the ball like you did, trying to get him comfortable. He was already behind 8-ball. That's why I said, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that when Saquon Barkley slipped, That threw everything off. That threw the whole game plan out the window. Survival mode becomes a thing. Like we talked about, Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. Like, you were on the ropes from the beginning, and you had to fight to get back in it. Because I'm not – if we're being honest, when the defense back was against the wall, everybody was biting their nails. Nobody has fingernails this week.
Oh, mine were
gone,
yeah.
Because they were nervous.
Totally gone.
And it happened twice. It happened twice.
Yep.
So, I know we're being real nitpicky about the quarterback, and he has to play better. No question about that. He has to play – make better decisions. But he was behind the eight ball. He was under duress as soon as the game started.
So he was. And look, Saquon slipping is not his fault. Cam Jurgens snapping the ball when he's not ready is not his fault. But he's got to rescue. Jalen can't compound the problems. He has to get them out of issues. And just don't throw that ball. If you go back and watch that play, the check down guy is just standing there, probably with 10 yards to run. Like, you don't have to. Game managers don't throw in a triple coverage. That's what I'm looking for here. Let's talk to Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Good day, man.
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I got a little Daily Douglas for you. Guys, you know, getting up early in the morning stinks to go work out, but there's nothing better. Met two good friends of mine, two regular listeners to the show. Shout out to Casey and Jason. Met them in Chesapeake City, actually, today, and had a great workout. And you know what? It set the mental tone right for today.
There you go. You're off and running. You got the blood flowing. You're thinking clearly here. You got a take for us, Chris, after the workout? What do you got?
Of course I got a take. I got a take that this is the smartest show on WIP. And, of course, you know, as your emotional hype guy, I'm 100% on board with this. And I want to point out a few things here. Hugh, I'm gonna go against what you just said a little bit, because you said, hey, in the heat of the moment, sometimes you don't think about that. But you also know this, and I agree with that, but you also know the importance of knowing the situation you're in. And mm-hmm. The situation that they were in is that they're getting ready to try to get in the end zone, but you're up by five, and you're about 2.5, 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. That's not the time to gamble and try to force a ball across your body and let your instincts kick in. That's where you got to go. Before the play goes, you got to know in your head, I can't turn over the ball here. I can't give my 8-point potential lead away. And that's the thing that I think gets lost in a lot of this. Other mm-hmm. than that, I 100% agree with you. When you're in the heat of the moment, the bullets are flying, you're going to react. But unless you take the time beforehand to say, hey, let me mentally check where I'm at, so when the emotion starts to fly in the heat of the battle, maybe that'll supersede me. So that's kind of where I'm at a little bit with that. Joe, 100%. Be Brock Purdy. And you know what, guys? Here's something I want to say to you. And Hugh, I'm really interested to hear maybe some thought you have on this that you saw happen. I would, one, argue that that's what Andy Reid, what we're saying to do with Jalen, is what Andy Reid did to Pat Mahomes. He's coached the gunslinger on. Remember when Pat was young?
Yes.
How much he forced the ball down the field? And
oh yeah. I mean, that's why he wasn't a winner in college. I mean, mm-hmm. for his it's great. And Chris, good phone call. Hugh, it is crazy to think back now. Like a player as great as Patrick Mahomes
didn't
lost
have that great college
in college
career.
Because yeah. he threw the ball to the team all the time. Right. Andy was able to keep the good stuff, but kind of edge the rough out of him. Like, get that gunslinger a little bit out of there. And, Hugh, I agree with you. You can't think in the – it's hard to think in the moment like that. But that fourth quarter pick, like, you know, just finish the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're in a good spot. You don't need to force it.
Yeah, it's to play offense in general, to me, that's one of the hardest things to do because you constantly have to keep your wits about you. As a defender, my anger – I use that to my benefit.
Yeah, your emotion.
My desire.
Yeah.
I use that, like all of those emotions. And a lot of times, the only thing, the downfall for me when I was like that is I would blank out and forget to play. But that's why I had Hollis over there to remind me, like, you know, to bring me back, or I might go on a rant or whatever, you know, cussing somebody out. But he would always lock me back in. That was the beauty of playing defense. On offense, it's not like that. On offense, and sometimes I feel like with Jalen, with everything that was going on, this is not an excuse. This is me trying to explain to you potentially what he was thinking about. I feel like in that moment, he's just trying to make plays.
Right,
like
but that could get him in trouble.
Yes, and I think that a part of that, again, was because of the situation that he was put in abruptly. You know,
behind the sticks, on the first possession,
and trying to win, and all the other good stuff.
Yeah, and that happens. But like, with great power comes great responsibility. He's not just paid to make plays. He's paid to manage the game. I mean, that's part of being a quarterback. Like, you got to keep the team on schedule.
Got to keep a level head.
Yeah, I mean, Sirianni says it all the time. He touches the ball every play. Like, he's the most important player for that reason. All right, let's hear the last part of this. Baldy and Ike yesterday. Really, but here's the biggest question: Can they win a Super Bowl with the way Jalen played on Friday night? I don't believe so. Here's some of that yesterday.
The last interception.
You're
came.
Not winning a Super Bowl playing like that, Ike.
But it's the first game of the season, and he has to be a quarterback. He has to be a quarterback that plays smart and takes care of the football.
Play safe. Okay. Play safe.
I just want him to take care of the football.
All right. The guy's wide open in the end zone. Like, why wouldn't you throw it?
Because he wasn't planted. He wasn't set to make a good enough throw to get enough velocity on the throw. That's why you don't make the throw.
Did you see AJ slip?
Yes.
Okay, so if he doesn't slip, you think that ball's going to get intercepted?
It doesn't mean it's going to be a touchdown.
I'm just saying, you think that ball's going to get intercepted if A.J. comes back to the ball?
Here's what I tell you could happen. A.J. can come back. The ball gets tipped.
Baldy.
Let's be respectful. Let's be respectful to each other. You ask me a question. Would the ball get intercepted? If we were to say A.J. is going to break a pass up, the ball gets tipped. Jair Alexander doesn't pick it off. The ball is tipped in the middle of the field. If it doesn't get picked off by Alexander, it could easily be picked off somewhere else, or it's an incomplete. Either way, at that point in the game, it's not worth the risk to do. It's just not worth the risk to do. And for a quarterback who on the previous play was late throwing the ball across the field that could have been taken back for a pick six that didn't happen because the DB dropped the ball, as well on the final drive of the game, when he threw the ball late to A.J., and Alexander almost picked it off there as well, and A.J. broke it up. You have to make better decisions with the ball. I don't mind him being aggressive, but it has to be at the right times. It has to be at the right times. And those were bad times to be aggressive.
No, I agree with that. There is a line, and Jalen went over the line on Friday. Luckily, they won the football game. 215-592-9494. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, and the Eagles can win with him. They almost won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, but he needs to be smarter. More game manager, less hero ball, more Brock Purdy, less Josh Allen. 215-592-9494. From the other side, all your phone calls, your reaction. Should Jalen Hurts be a game manager? Rhea will join us at 11 on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.